Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the horns of a dilemma department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, we have been called upon once again to provide sage advice, wise counsel.
Oh, yeah? How's that been working out?
Oh, not that well. But people keep asking, what are we supposed to do?
You never heard of a referral?
Well, this guy may need one of those. But listen to his letter. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dear Tom and Ray, I need your help.
Oh, he's in trouble already.
See? My wife can be impetuous and stubborn. In fact, that might be an understatement. I'm used to this, but from time to time, she will occasionally do something so outrageous that it even surprises me. Last weekend, for example, we were heading to northern New Hampshire to visit friends. My wife suggested we stop in a small town so I could pick up a bottle of wine for our friends while she ran a quick errand. I picked out a couple of nice bottles of Chianti, which took all of 5 minutes. I then stood outside the little liquor store, waiting for my family to swing back around and pick me up. Minutes turned into a half hour, and the staff in the liquor store was getting a little nervous on my behalf.
I could see that.
Finally, the storekeeper says, "Hey, there they are. You have a black van, right?" "Nope," I say, discouraged. "A red Honda." "Not anymore, you know," he says. Up pulls my wife, driving a top-of-the-line, fully loaded, jet-black Chrysler Town and Country with my kids in the back. My wife, meanwhile, is leaning out the front window with that, "Look what I just bought, honey," expression on her face. What's this?" I ask. "Do you like it?" she asks, changing the subject.
That's always a good tactic, right? Yeah. You change the subject.
The guy in the liquor store shakes his head in sympathy and heads back into the store. Huh. I get in the van with a confused look on my face, noticing the leather seats and 75 cup holders. A late model Honda Element had been running perfectly and looked great. My wife smiles at me and says, "Don't you just love it?" As we pull away, I see the staff of the liquor store standing outside, doubled over with laughter.
Like this happens all the time.
Now, here's my dilemma. Should I ever bring this up again?
Oh.
Sincerely, Mike.
Well, here's what you do, Mike. Here's what I would do. No, here's what you're going to do. I wouldn't do this. I would have run away from home. Next weekend, when she's busy, you go back to that town in New Hampshire, you find the Chrysler dealer, and you trade the van back for your Element.
Ah.
And you put all the family stuff back into the Element, and you park it back in your driveway, and you say nothing. And when she asks, you shrug and say, "What van?"
No, you can't do that. I mean, that would just escalate the situation. Then what happens? Mike comes home, and he finds another family in his house because she bought a bigger house while he was at work.
Well, and he has to go to the post office to get his own forwarding address.
Yeah, don't say anything, Mike. Just continue on as if nothing had happened. She's happy, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, just drop a casual reference to your new boat at some point. Well, look, if you have a question about your car, whether you wanted the car or not, doesn't matter. Give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Tracy calling from Staten Island.
Hey, Tracy, what's going on?
Well, I have kind of an ethical car dilemma.
Oh.
There is a totally junked out Nissan Stanza that has been parked in front of my house for at least 2.5, maybe 3 months.
I didn't know my brother was visiting.
It is a total junker car.
Uh-huh.
It has been ticketed because the plates and the registration don't match. So and if you look in the car, which I have done, on the passenger seat is a stack of registration stickers. So to me, this car just screams, "I've been dumped."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So in New York, the only way it can get towed is if it's got enough tickets on it, you know, over a certain amount of money, then the cops can tow it, or if it doesn't have plates on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
You see where this
is
going.
Oh, Tracy, you little devil, you.
So here's the thing. So I am the hot-headed New Yorker.
Yeah.
And I want to go out.
You're looking for a parking space.
You know, it's a tiny street. We only have 8 houses. There's very limited parking. So my solution to this problem is 3 a.m., a wrench, the plates are gone, 72 hours, so is the eyesore of a car. Now, my husband thinks this is a horrible idea.
I do, too.
You do? Oh.
No, I think much better than that is to call our cousins Vinny and Carmine and take care of it for you.
Well, the only reason I don't like it is, think about this.
Okay.
Some guy parked there, legitimately, and that night he had a heart attack, and he's been in the hospital for the last month and a half, 2 months, or whatever it's been. And he's waiting to get out from this hospital so he can get back to his car and drive home to see his family.
To his ailing mother.
Okay. But don't you think that the fact that the plates and registration don't match makes it kind of suspicious?
Well, this guy's he's a criminal.
But it doesn't alter the fact that he has a mother.
So what do I do? And I'm so, oh, my God. My husband told me that you guys were going to be the decision makers for us. And he was like, I swear we'll do whatever they say.
You've been in the car, right?
No, I haven't been in the car.
Well, the first thing you have to do is break in. Because you have to find out if the car's registered to somebody. Can you see any of the papers that are on the seat? Is the car registered to someone in your neighborhood?
How do I find that out? I can find out who it's registered to?
If you can break in and read the registration.
Oh, so I'd have to, like,
no, you can't, we can't advocate
sticker.
You breaking into a car, but if somehow the door should wind up open.
You don't understand. There are literally cobwebs from the wheel to the
no,
curb.
No, but Tommy's scenario is plausible. In
you
fact,
think so?
somebody could have had some awful thing happen to him or her. And all the car could have been stolen and just abandoned there. But you could certainly canvass the neighborhood.
So you are siding with my zen-like husband from California. Who's
well, I am, and then I'm not. So you can't break into the car, but you could push it down the street about half a block, and then it'll be in front of someone else's house.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm assuming, Tracy, that you've called the police and they've come by and looked at this thing?
I have called the police, and they have written a bunch of tickets, and they're like, sorry, lady, there's nothing we can do. But one officer did say, unless the plates happen to come off, and that's what gave me my devious idea.
Is there a plate on the front and on the back?
There is, and it's only, the plates are hanging off.
They're
only
hung by a thread. So a strong wind could knock them off.
See, that's what I'm saying. It might not even need a wrench.
You might have to, every day you should go by and blow on them.
Okay. That's what I'm going to do on my way home from work tonight. Maybe a little kick.
Yeah. A little kick, and maybe encourage the neighborhood kids to play stickball in the vicinity of the car. And if a window should get broken, then you can find out who owns it. And
But don't forget the guy lying there in bed in the emergency room with a heart attack.
Slowly recovering, thinking of his aged mother who hasn't seen him in 4 months and doesn't know where he is.
That's right.
She's been calling his apartment, calling. Nobody knows where he is. And you're about to have his
car. You're making me feel guiltier than my husband. All right, I'll try to get the boys down the block to use it as third base in a baseball game.
Okay.
And see what happens.
All right.
Let us know what happens.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Tracy. Right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Jeremy from Alston, Mass.
Alston.
Alston, yep. Not too far from your fair city.
Yeah, no, indeed. Not at all.
What's up?
My car, I have an 02 Ford Focus. And basically, whenever it's raining, sometimes when I come to a stop at, say, a stoplight and try to take a turn, it's like some sort of rubber band is trying to prevent me from taking that turn.
A rubber band? Maybe that's the rubber band that propels the wheels.
Not literally the rubber band, but it's like someone's trying to prevent me from taking the turn.
Right. It what's happening, I believe, we had a Honda in the shop the other day. And the fellow was complaining that when he drove in the rain, that the engine would stall.
Uh-huh.
And then he would restart it, and it would be fine, and he would drive it. Except if he drove through puddles or tried to make turns, you know, he would notice that the engine would stall. And, of course, what was happening to him is the same thing that's happening to your car, and the belt was slipping. Not the belt that's holding up your pants, but the belt, the serpentine belt that drives your accessories, that belt drives the power steering, and it drives the alternator and the air conditioner. But when the belt begins to slip, you lose your power steering. So even though you're trying to turn the wheel, okay, it's fighting you and not letting the power steering assist you.
So you don't have power steering.
Oh, that's a lot of fun.
And it feels like someone's pulling you back the other way.
Exactly. You feel like you're being pulled back because you're being resisted instead of assisted. Well, if you can try an experiment. Next time it does this, you can, when you're trying to negotiate one of these turns, you can give it a little gas.
No, I wouldn't do this.
No, you must, O2 Focus, you must have 78,000 miles on this thing.
Close. Well, kind of. I'm about 98 right now, actually.
98. Well, it's probably time for a new belt.
Okay.
I would guess that the belt is worn out and cracked. And when the belt no longer slips, you'll be able to drive it in the rain and steer it in the rain, too.
Won't that be nice?
It's always better than crashing into pedestrians.
That's true. See you, man.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for your call. 888.
And it could be us, because he lives very close.
Who?
We could be crossing the street.
I never walk with you.
No.
You walk too fast for me. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. My name's Tamara.
Tamara.
Yes.
And where are you from, Tamara?
Renton, Washington.
Got it.
Ah.
All right.
I have a 2001 Saturn L200 sedan. And a couple weeks ago, I was in a grocery store and somebody, when they were parking, hit the right side bumper of my car. And about a week later, I was driving down the road, maybe like 35 miles an hour, and I heard this sound out of on the back left side that sounds like a metal rod dragging behind the car on the ground.
Ah.
So I pull over and look and see if there's anything hanging, and there's nothing. And since then, it happens every time we hit about 28 miles an hour.
And you think it's connected to this accident in the front?
No, it's in the back rear that they hit my bumper.
Ah. Oh, so you were hit on the right rear.
And yes. The noise is coming from the left.
Right.
The left.
No.
Correct.
So you've looked, but no professional has looked.
No, I just switched to driving a different car.
Ah, that works.
Oh, that's perfect. So who's driving this car now?
My mom.
Your mom. And she's hard of hearing and she doesn't notice it. Or drives less than 28 miles an hour.
She drives pretty slow.
So, I mean, how hard a collision was it, do you think?
Well, it scraped the paint off all the way down to the metal. So I'm assuming that it was pretty hard.
Not necessarily. It doesn't take much to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, so was it? And did this person who hit you own up to it or not? Are they?
Of course not. They just parked somewhere else.
Oh, is that what you do? I never know what to do in those kinds of situations.
Well, I'm leaning toward the idea that they have nothing to do with each other.
I am too.
You are?
Darn.
Yeah, I am too. I think you have a dragging brake.
A dragging brake?
Yeah, I mean, is the noise stops immediately when you stop, obviously.
Yes.
Is it changed at all by stepping on the brake?
It slows down.
It slows down. And you said it's a clanging sound, though, huh?
It's like that consistent sound of like a metal rod dragging on like smooth asphalt.
Yeah,
I wish I could make the sound.
Oh, you're going to make it. You don't wish. You're going to make it.
I know you can do it.
Go ahead.
Here you are. You're driving along.
Maybe. I don't know. It's definitely a metallic sound.
I'm going to try to make the sound and see if you can say, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Does it sound like a percolating coffee pot, you know?
No, not at all.
No, that's not the sound.
Not at all.
I know you're having a good time over there, but that's not it.
No. So it's more like a scraping sound.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why didn't you say that?
I thought I did.
I thought she did too. That's why I didn't understand this sound.
So stepping on the brake only serves to slow it down, but it doesn't change it. Does it do it all the time that you're moving when you get above 28?
No, it does it like 70% of the time.
70% of the time. Well, there ain't a lot back there. So we've got the brakes back there. I mean, that rest of the car is kind of going along for the ride, you know.
Yeah.
So it could easily be a broken stabilizer link.
Uh-huh.
And stabilizer links can make that kind of a noise, which sounds like something's hitting the pavement. But in fact, it's the broken piece of the stabilizer link hitting the stabilizer bar. And that'll actually sound more like metal on metal. It'll be and it can be worsened if you go over bumps, and it can sometimes be diminished if you travel on smoother roads.
Okay.
Is it more that sound, more that clink, 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 you know, like metal?
No.
I'm trying to use the power of suggestion. All right, here's what you
You got to take it to your mechanic and let him take it for a ride.
Yeah, someone has to take this for a ride. Someone that can really help you, because we're not helping. And you're not being cooperative. I'm trying to...
Sorry, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
Can you take the car for a ride right now and make us listen to it via your cell phone?
Oh, sure.
Oh, take it for a ride and call us back.
Okay.
All right. We'll be waiting for your call.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Maybe if we're lucky, we'll run out of time before she calls back.
Hey.
Yeah. When you get in the car and you've got it to make the noise, call us back, and hopefully we'll be able to hear it over the cell phone. You'll have to turn the radio off. Okay. See you tomorrow. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Hey, do you happen to remember anything about last week's puzzler?
No, not a thing. I'm a fresh sheet of paper, clean slate.
Well, that's kind of putting a positive spin on things. How about I give you a little hint?
Sure. Give me a hint.
All right. Fill in the blank. When you're not working, you're on blank.
Our payroll?
Well, sadly, that's true. But I was looking for the word vacation.
Oh.
The puzzle was about an all-inclusive resort vacation. And we'll be back with the whole story.
And more of your phone calls, too.
So stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Called in sick to the office that day. I grabbed my coat and hat and I was on my way. Took some food and drink and a good cigar and set out to gas up my car. Well, those damn old gas lines ain't getting any shorter. This one was backed up a mile and a quarter, but I found a spot. I pulled in line and then I took a gander at what was behind. It was a blue Chevy 2. One look at her and heart fell through. She smiled in my mirror and I looked up above. That moment on, I knew it was love. I looked back at her and I had this dream. If we could ride together, we could save some gasoline.
And even though the NPR nurse Googled vocal cords, temporary paralysis whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzle, which seems to have eluded my brother. Anyway, so did the question, for that matter. This is from my Travel and Leisure series, and it was sent in by a fellow named Jeff Ross, and here's what he wrote. Last summer, I took a vacation at an all-inclusive resort. Each day, I was given a complimentary voucher, good for either a round of golf in the morning or a massage in the afternoon, but I could only do one or the other on any given day, but not both. In other words, you get one voucher in the morning.
Even I understood that.
Why didn't you remember it?
I didn't have to remember it, but I understood it.
Oh, okay, there's a difference, I guess.
After you remembered it to me.
I'm going to remember everything for you. Well, because I was on vacation, I took things very leisurely. 5 of the mornings I slept in, so I couldn't have played golf in those days. Mm. On 7 of the afternoons, I goofed off by the pool. So in those days, I couldn't avail myself of the massage.
Mm.
On some days, I did play golf. On some days, I got a massage. Other days, I did nothing at all. When I checked out, I had used only 8 of my vouchers. The question is, how many days was I at the resort?
2 weeks. No.
Well, close. I mean, it's a good guess because what? Those things usually last 2 weeks, right? Well, if that's not your answer, what would be your second guess?
10 days.
There you go.
It was mathematics, and I'm very good at that.
Well, I like your unencumbered by the thought process answer, you know? Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
On any given day at the resort, you have to do one of 3 things. Either A, play golf.
Yeah.
Or B, get a massage.
Yeah.
Or C, do nothing.
Do nothing.
So A plus B plus C is going to equal the number of days of the vacation.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're going to do one of those 3 things. Now, we know, he says he used 8 vouchers. So we know that A plus B equals 8.
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at the days that he skipped the golf. Okay, the days that he hung around by the pool. He says, 7 afternoons I spent lounging by the pool bar. On those 7 days, he played either golf in the morning or did nothing mm-hmm. for the whole day.
Yeah.
So A plus C, if golf is A and C is nothing, must equal 7.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he also says, 5 mornings I slept in yeah. which case he didn't play golf on those mornings.
Right.
So 5 must equal B, the day, the afternoons he got a massage, plus C, the days he did
nothing.
Nothing at all. So we have 3 little equations here. We have A plus B equals 8.
Mm-hmm.
A plus C equals 7.
Yeah.
And B plus C equals 5. If you add them all up, you ready for this? You wind up with 2A plus 2B
plus
2C. Plus 2C equals?
20.
20. Right? So A plus B plus C must equal...
It is 20. I just made that number up.
A plus B plus C obviously equals...
That's 10.
10. Right? That. And, of course, you can substitute and find out the values of A, B, and C, which happened to be, I think, 5 days he played golf.
Yeah.
3 afternoons he got the massage, and 2 days did squat like you. Nothing at all.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yeah, we do. The winner this week is Frank Freeman from Greensboro, North Carolina. And for having his answer selected at random... From among all the correct answers that we got, Frank is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our brand new book, Ask, Click, and Clack. It's a collection of our newspaper columns in which people ask us car questions, and then we largely ignore the question and write about whatever we feel like writing about.
Oh, kind of like what we do here on the show, right?
Yeah, yeah. With the added bonus that you don't have to listen to us.
That's when you just turn the page. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, let's see who's waiting patiently on hold for us. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Erin. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Erin?
Erin.
Yes.
Hi, Erin from Denver.
Denver.
What's up?
I have a 2000 Toyota Camry, and about a couple weeks ago, I was in my garage, and I put the clutch in to put it in reverse so I could go to work, and I heard like a squeak when I released the clutch,
mm-hmm.
and at the time, my windows were down, and I was like, what? And I thought it was just coming from the actual pedal, like the pedal was squeaking. So I rolled up the windows, and I put the clutch in, and I released it again, and I didn't hear the squeak. So it's coming from outside of the car.
Ah.
So I had a mechanic friend look at it, and he has no idea what's going on. And so he said, I think you should call Car Talk.
Ah.
Did he walk around the car as you were taking your foot off the clutch?
Yes.
And he couldn't hear it?
He could hear it. He just didn't know
where it was coming from.
Did either of you open the hood?
He opened the hood, and he stuck his head in, and he still didn't know what it was.
So when you say he's a mechanic friend...
Right, so he's not...
He tinkers.
He's not a professional.
He's a tinkerer.
He's a tinkerer.
Ah, yeah. Okay. He doesn't make his living as a mechanic.
You sound rather analytical. What do you do for a living?
I teach high school French.
I was going to say she's a teacher. You sounded like a teacher.
Yeah, you're precise.
Yes.
So you give the children instructions.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ah.
Right. That way there's no confusion.
No, that's
great. No confusion. Well,
thanks for the call. We'll see you. Good luck, Erin.
So this noise is when you take your foot off the pedal?
Yes, as I'm taking it out. It's like right when that friction point is, you know?
Sure.
It's right there.
Well, it could be that... How many miles are on this 00 Camry?
About 125,000.
You know, you could be ready for a new clutch.
Oh, Lord.
And in the noise...
Well, you might be, but not necessarily.
You might be. Well, the reason I say that is what you might be hearing... is the clutch beginning to slip a little bit. You might be hearing the rivets. The clutch material is held on to a metal plate with rivets, actually. And as the clutch material, the friction material, wears down, it eventually exposes the rivets to the metal of the flywheel and the metal of the pressure plate or the clutch cover. And you could be hearing that. More likely, however, you're hearing the noise that is being created by there was an announcement coming from the principal. I hear.
Yeah, I can hear him too.
more important, more likely, however, is that you're hearing the pivot on the release bearing fork. Okay. And that'll make a ee kind of noise.
That's what it is.
Have you tried doing it with the engine off?
Okay, I haven't tried it with the engine off. No.
I'm going to guess it's going to do it with the engine off, and then your friend will be able to stick his head in there and actually stick it right down where that fork goes through the opening in the bell housing and actually hear the noise and maybe even feel that fork as it moves when you step on the clutch and release it. And he'll be able to feel the squeaking or the vibration caused by the squeaking right in that fork.
Okay.
And if that's in either case, you can try lubricating that thing, but you probably should have somebody test the clutch to see if it's slipping.
Okay.
Because if it's slipping, you can just dispense with all the shenanigans and just replace the thing.
Okay.
You must have one of the few standard shift Camrys in captivity. We had to see.
Yeah. Hardly
that's
ever.
Every time I take it to the mechanic, they say, one of the few.
Chosen ones. Well, get it. I don't think it's anything serious, but have your friend look at it with the engine off.
Okay.
And if it's making that noise, it isn't the first thing I describe, but likely the second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would just keep driving.
Okay.
That's Tommy's answer for everything.
Well, I mean, it's not going to blow up, but nothing's going to happen terrible.
No.
One day, the clutch won't work, and that's when you get it fixed.
Okay.
See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
You don't want people to be worried about stuff, you know?
Well, that's do people worry more?
Yeah.
When they know what's, down the road.
Yeah.
What's lurking in the shadows. Or do they worry more if they hear a noise and don't know what's lurking in the shadows?
Worse. I mean, that's bad, to not know. But if you know,
so that's
then
why
you can be calm about it. I know it's the clutch.
Well, that's why I was trying to inform Erin so she would know.
Yeah,
and
I just wanted to make sure that
she didn't know. Just checking. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2. Just another sample of the fine advice you get here on Car Talk, folks. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Tamara again.
Tamara! Jeez.
Okay.
I mean, the hour isn't up yet.
I tried driving around to get it to make the sound, and it did, but then I pulled over and it stopped again. So I can't get it to do it again, but I can make it this time.
Yeah. Oh, because you've got enough confidence now.
Yeah.
Yes, I think I can do it. So here we go. Like that.
Oh,
jeez. Did you do that? That came out of your mouth?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
I think you have a stuck brake.
I think so, too.
Yeah, does it make any difference if you're turning?
No.
If you're turning, does it tend to go away at all?
Nope, it stays.
It stays even if you're turning. And it doesn't sound like boom, 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 boom.
No, definitely not. And no percolators either.
No percolators.
I'm more convinced than ever that it's a stuck brake caliper.
A stuck brake caliper.
Yeah, I would take this thing to the repair shop and have them look at it because it could be serious. The thing could seize up on you.
Uh-oh.
I'd be surprised if it has anything to do with the accident, but I could be wrong. I mean, it's possible the accident could have knocked loose the exhaust system, but there's nothing for it to hit back there that would make that kind of a sound because it's only a two-wheel drive vehicle. So there's no drive shaft that it can hit, and those wheels are just going along for the ride, you know. And to have that kind of awful noise that you made, it really has to be something that's turning, that's grinding away at something to cause that noise.
And when you take it, make sure you explain what they have to do to make the noise happen.
Okay.
Yeah, try to take up a little less of their time than you have of ours, because
I listen to the show always.
Because you're up to $400-$500 with us.
Good luck, Tamara.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Have it taken care of, because if the brake seizes up, it's not going to be fun.
No.
Okay.
Unless your mother's driving.
No, I like her, so I'll try to get done today.
Okay, good. Let
good
us know.
You.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Boris. Boris from West Fulton, New York.
Hi, Boris. Hi. What's going on, man?
I got a 94 Subaru Legacy, 192,000 miles, and the gas tank is leaking.
Oh.
But I love this car. As you know, these cars will go for another, to 300,000.
Yeah. Oh, this has a gas tank that straddles. This is an all-wheel drive car?
Yeah.
It straddles the drive shaft.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I know that a lot of stuff has to come out to get to it.
Yes.
And a couple guys I've taken it to have said, yeah, geez, that's a lot of money. And I'm thinking, well, you know, so is a new car.
Yeah.
So here's my idea. I'm going to throw it by you.
I can hardly wait.
I know what it is. You're going to make it out of plywood.
No, it's a good idea, though. I just, you know, marine the inside of it.
Yeah.
No. I'm thinking, like, can I open the top?
Oh, take it out from the top?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh.
You know, like a big fish can.
Like a sardine can. You want to open the floor.
Is that possible, and is it safe? Is it legal, and all those questions?
None of the above.
It's
legal.
No.
Who's going to deny it?
Well,
you'll never get it out that way.
No, you won't.
That's the problem.
No, once you do manage to get it up, of course, in order to do this, you'll have to take the seats out and the rug and all that, seats. And I didn't mention, you'll have to take the top off the car, the roof. Because once you get it out of there, you might not be able to get it out through any of the doors. It's a pretty big tank.
It'll go up the back hatch, though, wouldn't it?
Might. What if it didn't?
Just leave it in the back seat. Put a new one in.
No, it isn't that big a deal to take it out the correct way.
It isn't.
It isn't. I mean, you need to get the car up in the air.
It is a pain.
If you don't have access to a lift, it's a pain.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I just want to, you know.
Oh, they'll do it.
Yeah.
But more importantly, have you located another tank, or are you going to try to repair this one?
It's 94 since that tank's been in there, and there's a lot of rust.
So they'll find the tank.
Yeah.
And you want to put a new tank in it. You don't want a used tank.
No, absolutely new tank.
Absolutely new tank, and it'll be good for another, 18 years.
Sure, why not?
So you don't think the can opener idea is a good idea at all?
Well,
I don't think so.
No. I don't either.
No, he doesn't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fun as an exercise. If you were going to get rid of the car.
Right,
if you had like 6 months to do it.
No, what if this failed? If you tried the can opener thing
and
it failed.
Yeah.
Then you would get rid of the car.
Or I would just patch it up with PC7 and try to put a new one in.
Well, here's the problem. When you begin to cut through the floor, don't forget the floor of this car is not just the floor. It is the structure of the car.
There was a question. I did not know if structural or not. I couldn't.
Oh, it is structural.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the old days, cars used to have frames and floorboards,
right.
And the floorboards were originally wood, and then, after we entered the Iron Age, we started making the floors out of metal.
Right.
And in those cars, the floor was not an integral part of the structure of the car.
Right.
Modern cars have, unibody construction, and as such, the floor and the frame are all one thing.
Yeah.
So if you start cutting that open, you've got to make sure that you put it back together by welding it together. It would cost, I'm guessing, three times as much to do that as it would to do it the right way.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right. so it was a good idea, but a bad idea.
Well, it was interesting because the one guy I took it to, speaking of Iron Age, was pretty close to a Neanderthal. And he's like, well, no, we can do it. We can put it back to PC7.
Well, he might be your guy then. Good luck, Boris. Try not to do anything too crazy.
All right, guys.
See you later.
Thanks.
Well, you have to admit, as crazy as it was a good idea.
No, it was never... Well, it was a good idea until...
Well, it was a different idea.
It was a different approach, and it was a good idea until he found out that he couldn't do it because the structure of the car was at risk.
Yeah.
Because it may be all rusty. He may be able to do it with a screwdriver and a hammer. Who knows?
The truth is, it sounds to me to be more work than doing it the other way.
Absolutely.
It is.
Right, but he could do it himself. Hey, look, it's time for us to take a little break before we get to the new puzzler.
Well, give us a hint. I mean, tell us about the new puzzler. Give us a reason to stay tuned during the break.
Which one do you want me to do? Talk about the puzzler or try to keep people tuned in? Because they might be mutually exclusive.
I see your dilemma there.
All right. Here's the puzzler this week.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Is from my, you ready for this?
Yeah.
My Horsetown Revisited series.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're still tuned in, are you there?
Yeah.
We'll be back with that and more of your car questions in just a minute, so stay tuned.
I'm driving down Route 7. It's a bright and sunny day. The speedo's locked at 58. I'm cruising on my way. I glance up at the mirror and I can't believe my eyes. There's a grill, a bumper, four headlights, and they've been supersized. Now I'm not lying, they're really close. I'm looking at that grill. And they're held on by wind and speed, the $50 bill. There he is, Ulysses Grant, just staring back at me. Trucking down Route 7, just as smug as he can be. Take parking. It's so irritating, aggravating, and infuriating. Tailgaters, they're such safety haters, accident creators. This road was made for you and me.
And even though Chinese astronauts make a last-minute decision to float around for a few extra days whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler, which I mentioned was from One Horse, Nevada.
Wow.
Haircut in Horse Town. Some of you may remember a Puzzler from a long time ago that took place in a little town called One Horse, Nevada. And there was a story about a man who was in urgent need of a haircut. And he wound up in this little...
Urgent need of a haircut.
And he wound up in this little town, and he had to decide between two barbers. There were two barbers in town. But he eventually did. And that's a different Puzzler altogether. But we're revisiting today because this time we have converging on Horsetown three men in urgent need of emergency appendectomies.
Oh!
It happens.
Okay. And these guys are all showing up in town.
At the same time.
Same time.
Now, because it's a one-horse town, there's only what? One doctor.
Huh.
Dr. Ruthless.
Oh. Okay.
And to complicate matters, her left arm is in a sling.
Oh.
Her shoulder got dislocated in a barroom brawl. I always knew it was a rough town, this place. But she can still operate using her right hand to wield the scalpel, and her left hand to help put on and remove the surgical gloves.
All right. Okay, yeah.
Here's the problem. There are three people who need operations and only two gloves and only one hand. She's a one-handed surgeon.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's got two gloves.
Two gloves, three victims. I mean, three three patients, right?
Yeah.
How can she do it without risking contamination of her three patients?
Wait, she's going to do all three appendectomies at the same time.
Well, but she can do them sequentially. It doesn't make any sense, but she can't allow any contamination to touch any of the other patients or her.
Oh.
In other words, if she touches somebody's innards with a glove, she can't reverse that glove and put it on herself and let it touch her.
Ah.
So how can she do it? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the bottom of a Robomore RL1000 fully automatic programmable lawnmower with docking station, triple chamber mulching system, LCD operation with backlit display, dual navigation systems, heavy duty blades, and a preemptive replacement for my neighbor's 20x14 bed of prize winning gardenias. And ship it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Rebecca from Menlo Park, California.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hi. Well, I have a marital problem I'm hoping you can help me with.
Oh, I know a lot about marital problems.
Oh, yeah, mostly about how to initiate them.
Okay. Well, here's the problem. I'm married to an MG guy.
Oh.
So, now, I did know this was coming, okay, because when we were dating back in the 80s, when he was at MIT, he had an MGA back then. And we drove around in it. We drove away from our wedding in it. It was his pride and joy. We've still got it.
Yeah.
And it's in beautiful shape. It's gorgeous. He takes beautiful care of it.
Yeah.
But now he wants to get an MGB GT as well, and he's actually bought it. It's in pieces. He's getting it partially put together by experts, and then he's going to ship it to us in the garage. He's going to put it all together himself, get it into gorgeous shape, and then he wants it to be one of the family cars for both of us to drive around.
Uh-huh.
He says it's perfectly safe.
Mm.
And well, I say he's crazy.
Yeah, he was doing great until he wanted you to get behind the wheel, because the car is not safe.
Okay.
And it's by no means is it perfectly safe. It doesn't have crumple. It doesn't have crumple zones. It doesn't have airbags. It doesn't have ABS brakes. It's a substantial car. I mean, it's got a substantial.
And that makes it unsafe.
Yeah, that's exactly what makes it unsafe.
Airbags. What's that?
No, it doesn't have even the minimum of anything.
No, it doesn't.
And it's sad that it's as wonderful a car as it is, it was okay for... So this GT is from the 60s?
Yes, it's a 66.
Yeah, no, I remember when that car came out. That's a great-looking car.
It's a nice-looking car.
And it's a car that he should drive around himself.
His argument is it's much safer than the MGA because, of course, it has lots more modern stuff like, you know, door handles.
Yeah, but the MGA was made out of cardboard and tinfoil. I mean, the MGA was...
No, he can't compare it to
the MGA was a death trap.
Yes.
And the MGB is just dangerous and reckless.
Yeah.
There's no way I could describe the MGB as being perfectly safe.
Or even reasonably safe, like with modern cars on the road?
No.
Well, what kind of driving might you do?
Well, really, mostly around town. We live in the suburbs, and it's really not much highway driving, but it's, you know, driving our kid to school and going to work. And,
wait, when you say not much highway driving, there would be some highway driving?
Yeah.
No.
And he's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to let your kids ride in it either.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, this is an adult car.
Grown-ups only, no 11-year-olds in it.
This is an R-rated car. And more importantly, you have to make sure that his life insurance policy is in full effect.
Yeah.
And large.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I know he's, you know, he shares an alma mater with us. And while these are fun cars, both the A and the GT, I wouldn't want to be riding in either one of those for more than an hour or two at a time.
It is sad.
We let my brother drive around in his Fiat, but he never goes more than 6 miles an hour.
Yeah, and you guys are all hoping that something happens to me.
Oh, we have some trucks following him around all day.
Well, it's going to break his heart, but I have to say I'm glad to get the real scoop.
Yeah, you sound like an intelligent, thoughtful person, and don't let him brainwash you, Rebecca.
Okay.
Yeah. Fight the good fight.
I'll stay tough.
All right, and think of your children.
You bet.
And call your insurance agent. Maybe you can double the policy.
Maybe I can get a little extra on the policy.
See you later.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Now, why do guys do that? I mean, the car is not safe. But why is he trying to convince his wife that whom he... Oh.
No. I think he thinks the car is safe. I don't. If he thought the car were a death trap...
Well, he's got to know that.
He's got to know that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there is an explanation.
Yeah.
He's nuts.
Wife number three.
No, he might be nuts.
He might be
nuts. And
well, he is.
The car, the beauty of the car...
has overcome him.
Yeah, exactly. It's tainted his objectivity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a wackadoo now. And that happens to guys when they fall in love, whether it's a car or anything or one else.
Yeah.
It happens.
We're
hopeless romantics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's happened
to
you.
We're stupid.
I guess that's
just
about it.
Plain old stupid.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jimmy from El Paso, Texas.
Jimmy,
how
what's
you doing?
Going on? I've been to El Paso, Texas.
Really?
Yeah, I have been to El Paso, Texas, and I enjoyed it very much.
This is my third tour here, so.
Oh, you're in the military?
Yes, I'm in the Army.
Well, I got to say, I think the best Mexican restaurant that I've ever been to in my life
was in El Paso.
Was in El Paso, including all the Mexican restaurants that I went to in Mexico. Anyway, how can we help you, Jimmy?
Well, I have a 2000 Chevy Suburban, about 175,000 miles on it. And I recently, the battery died. So if I get up in the morning and it doesn't crank, I just go buy a new battery. And it'd been about 3 or 4 years. And ever since I got the new battery, it had a hard time cranking. So it kind of get this wah, 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 and then it turn over. A couple things that might have affected it. I had the alternator checked, and they said that it was fine. And I went through one of these little car washes here, and my brake adapter that you hook your electric brakes to in the back, it got ripped off and just kind of dropped in their 10-foot vat of water, which I never could find. And I went and taped all the wires.
This is for your trailer brakes.
You got a trailer.
Yeah, my trailer brake.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it had a little short. So I took it to one of the places called like Brake Master and said, hey, can you see what's going on? And they said, well, you probably have some sort of low-voltage drainage at nighttime because it really only happens in the morning or after a long weekend.
My brother has that too, by the way. He's got low voltage drainage thing.
Doesn't crank up in the morning.
Yeah, I have that problem almost every day.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I can't figure out how I'm losing power each morning, and if I've got something else, it might be worse wrong.
Well, if you're determined to fix this yourself, you can verify if in fact you're losing power from the battery by disconnecting the battery, especially
the night before,
over a long weekend.
Yeah, just disconnect one of the battery terminals and you're all set.
And then when you hook it up, and then when you try to start it Monday morning, it won't start at all because the terminal will be disconnected. But after you hook that up, if it fires up, if it cranks up normally, then you can eliminate a lot of stuff and kind of point the finger towards something else. For example, I thought you might have a bad starter motor.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah, you could have a bad starter. I mean, it could be the original one with 175K on it. So you could have a bad starter, and if you do, this disconnecting trick isn't going to make one bit of difference.
Right.
Okay.
On the other hand, if it turns out that disconnecting the battery does solve the problem, then you've got to get it to somebody who can, first of all, test the new battery that you bought to make sure that's satisfactory. I believe it is. But more importantly, check for a current drain. And it may not have anything to do with this wire that fell in the water. It may be something else that's draining the current down.
Okay. That seems complex to fix, though.
Well, no. I mean, what you do with a current drain is you run a test light in between the battery terminal and the removed cable, and the test light, if there is a current drain, will be lit. You can use a voltmeter as well or an ammeter. We usually use an ammeter. And then you begin disconnecting things, okay, to see what makes the ammeter go down to zero or the light go out.
Okay.
And when you find the thing that, and usually you start at the fuse box. So when you find the one thing that makes that current drain go away, then you know you found it. And usually a drain that's more than an ampere is enough to kill the battery.
Okay.
So now you got it? Disconnect the battery and call us in the morning.
Okay. I'll do
Good luck, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
Take it easy. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jordan. I'm calling from Princeton, West Virginia.
Hi, Jordan.
Jordan.
From what city of West Virginia?
Princeton.
Oh, Princeton.
Oh, Princeton.
Got it. What's going on?
Well, I have a 99 Jeep Cherokee, and it's given me not very many problems, except that I've been driving it for the past 2 to 2.5 years now with the check engine light on.
Uh-huh.
Really?
In that time period, the first time it came on, of course, I was really worried and pulled over immediately and checked my manual, and it said that as long as it's not flashing, you're okay, just get it to a mechanic. So I took it to a mechanic and dropped it off. When I went to pick it up, they said, oh, you don't have any problem, you just didn't have the gas cap on tight enough. So I said, oh, great, you know, thank you so much, here's $5, have a nice day.
And was the light off at that point?
It was off.
So they actually checked the codes?
They cleared it.
And they charged you $5?
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I was happy, that's a great deal.
Yeah, and then how long did it go before the light came back on again?
I couldn't tell you exactly, but I know it was within a week.
Oh,
right. Okay.
So in a short period of time, I looked down and said, oh, it's on again. So I took it back to somebody else, and they did the same thing, and they told me the same thing. So this has happened 3 times now, where I've taken it to people, and I sort of get the proverbial pat on the head, like, oh, little girl, you forgot to put your gas cap on. And I like things that are cheap, so I've been happy with that.
And how much do these guys charge you? They charge you $5 also?
I think actually a couple of them didn't. The second didn't charge me anything at all.
Really?
So, huh.
That was a great deal as well.
You must be very cute, Jordan.
I try.
Well, you know, my brother tries, but it doesn't work. Either you got it or you don't.
Well, I don't think that they're spending very much time with it.
Has any one of them asked you out on a date?
No.
Okay.
They will.
That'll be a little bit more expensive.
They're waiting for the return visit. So in several instances now, you've gotten this light turned off, and in each case, they've told you that the gas cap was probably the culprit.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it could be. It could be that the gas cap isn't loose, but it could be faulty.
Okay.
But I'm guessing that they're missing something, and there's another leak. What the gas cap does, one of the things it does, is it seals the gasoline vapors in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the old days, we used to let those vapors escape into the atmosphere.
Okay.
But we don't allow that anymore because that's bad for the air.
Okay.
So the gas cap is supposed to prevent that from happening, but so are a lot of other pieces
okay.
that work in the evaporative emission system. And you could have a leaky hose someplace, and your vehicle's old enough so that you could have a valve that's faulty, or you could have a hose that's faulty in the evaporative system, which is tucked under the vehicle by the tank. And the way they're going to find this, if they can't solve it by putting a gas cap on it, is to do something called a smoke test. But it's going to take going to somebody who's willing to spend the time. And you may have to bake brownies or something.
Okay. And so, you know,
I think that's very important.
So I'll look very frumpy that day.
I would look especially frumpy. But
that would be good. Because they have to get their attention on the problem and off of you.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I think they're just dismissing you, figuring that you'd come back.
Yeah.
Right? And every time you come back, they say, oh, it's Jordan again. Let's give her the old gas cap thing, and she'll come back. So they want you to keep coming back and coming back. You've got to tell them, look, guys, this is your last chance.
Yeah.
This is your last chance. I've made a carrot cake, and it's yours if you can solve the problem.
Okay.
Have you purchased the official Car Talk roll of black tape? Because we sell that on our website to cover up that annoying light.
Well, I've done a pretty good job of ignoring it this far, but I am going to have a baby in January, so all of a sudden I'm a little more concerned with the safety of the vehicle than I have been for the past couple of years.
Yeah, and you should be. There's a chance that the thing could break down, but I don't think there's anything to worry about. But it would be a good idea to get this taken care of before you have the baby.
Yeah.
I'm just taking a wild guess that after you have the baby, you might be a little busy.
Right, right.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Jordan.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
You ain't kidding.
Oh, you did too. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Cavs of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Mandalay Duck Sauté, Cheese Soufflé, Beef Sauté, Chilled Vouvray, Special K, Peach Parfait, Creme Brulee, and Milky Way Eat, Love, Pray Lunch Sachet is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our bad joke interpreter is Nadia Get It. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the ex-retirees serving lattes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 841, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, are there things in your car that are making you sick?
In your car? Absolutely. Where should we start? Like with the dog odor?
No, I'm talking about things like that new car smell. Wait a minute, what's a new car smell like?
I'll show you sometime. Actually, it turns out that outgases from certain plastics are what produce that new car smell, and some of them can be harmful to your health. We'll tell you all about how to minimize your risk.
Yeah, just drive an old Heap like my car.
I think I'll take my chances with the outgases.
Get all the dirt on car interiors this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though science reporter Joe Palca thinks briefly about drinking whatever's in the nearest beaker whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.